You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
On page 889, and we'll begin from verse 1. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read the writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now, I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. but you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow.
Please do grab a Bible, have Daniel 5 open. Page 889, Daniel 5, and let's pray together. Let's pray again what we've just sung. Lord of past ages, Lord of this morning, Lord of the future, help us, we pray. Teach us now to trust you, to love you, to obey you, so that we may crown each moment, Lord of today. Amen. Well, what a reminder it's been this week. Those who exercise power can be proud and arrogant and immoral. Sexual harassment is awful. But there is more that is distressing. One political commentator said this week that affairs between consenting adults are okay. Most of the offenders seem to be married men. Nobody seems to think that unfaithfulness in marriage is awful. Nobody seems to think of the women being betrayed, the women being harassed. That is awful. That's pretty sobering, isn't it, as to where our society has got to. Today we'll be reminded that God can humble the proud and the arrogant and the immoral in an instant. Sin can be exposed in this life, but much sin remains covered and unknown. We know that in our own lives, don't we? But God sees all and knows all. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. This is God's world, and that's one of the big lessons that we're being reminded of in Daniel. Nations and governments and individuals can think that they rule the world without God. Think of Alistair Campbell's comment about the last Labour government. We don't do God. In the French Revolution, religion was banned and the goddess of reason was exalted. Think of the old Soviet Union. The state controlled the school syllabus. There were no public displays of religion. God was officially dead. It was an atheistic state. But the God and Father of Jesus is very much alive. Leonid Brezhnev was the president of the Soviet Union from 1964 to 1982. And when he died in 1982, the US representative at his state funeral was Vice President George Bush, the senior. He was watching Brezhnev's widow. Just as the soldiers moved to close the lid of the coffin, she leant over her husband's body and she made the unmistakable sign of the cross. What an act of godly civil disobedience, eh, that is. Bush said later, it was visible proof that faith in God was still very much alive in the Soviet Union. Nations, kingdoms, governments, rulers, companies. Companies can think that they rule the world and become arrogant and proud, can't they? Think of the financial crisis of 2008. I've just watched the film The Big Short, which I recommend if you want to understand what happened in 2008. Think of the arrogance of Lehman Brothers, the bank. But God destroyed the bank in a week. Think of individuals. Read the pages of most modern autobiographies and you won't find much about God. Richard Branson has 600 pages about himself and one line, I do not recognize God. Now, Daniel 5 is a serious warning. Remember that chapters 2 to 7 of Daniel are written in Aramaic. That was the language of government and administration in the Middle East. This is a warning to all rulers and peoples. It's a testimony for the whole world. And the structure of the writing, a chiastic structure, chiasm, leads into chapters 4 and 5, and I put that on the outline. The chapters either side mirror each other, and you can see that. Both chapters are about the living God dealing with human kings. These kings represent all institution, rulers, or individuals who set themselves up against the living God. And you'll remember that in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is confronted by the King of Heaven. He's given the opportunity to repent, but he doesn't, and he's humbled. He becomes like an animal. He goes from a position of superhuman to a position of subhuman, from a position of gloating to a position of groveling. Nebuchadnezzar, the proud king, humbled by the King of Heaven, and through that, he comes to commit himself to the sovereign Lord God, and he confesses with his lips the King of Heaven. Look at chapter 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And look at this last line. And those who walk in pride he is able to humble. And that message is to be proclaimed to all the world. Well, in chapter 5, we meet Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar is succeeded by Nabonidus, King Nabonidus. And he puts his son, Belshazzar, in charge of Babylon. We don't hear anything of Nabonidus, but we do of Belshazzar. He's like a co-regent ruling in Babylon. In verse 2 of chapter 5, we're told that Nebuchadnezzar is Belshazzar's father. The word father there is in the sense of ancestor, predecessor. We still do that, don't we? We talk about Abraham is regarded as the father of the Jewish nation. We talked about his father. Now, this chapter is a serious warning, but it is also a wonderful encouragement to God's people. I wonder if we'll see it like that. But we should see it like that. And my first heading is this: how foolish not to honour and serve the King of Heaven who has made himself known. How foolish not to honour and serve the King of Heaven who has made himself known. Look at the sinful rebellion of Belshazzar. Verse 1. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So they brought in the goblets, the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, And the king and his the court, they just have a fantastic drunken, presumably, party. But the shock is greater, isn't it? He deliberately uses them in the worship of other gods. Verse 4, as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of silver, of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood and stone. It is a brazen act of rebellion against the one true God, the living God, the God of Israel. But then, verse 5, suddenly, this arrogant king is unsettled. Verse 5, suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. It's wonderful, isn't it? I think we're meant to smile. This great king, so proud, so confident, so full of his idolatry, suddenly, white as a sheet, knees knocking. Some here will know the Christian writer Charles Colson, Chuck Colson. He went to prison for his part in a political scandal in America called Watergate. And that scandal eventually led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon. Just before going to prison, Colson became a Christian. He later attended the funeral of Richard Nixon. He wrote this. Present at the funeral were four former presidents and the incumbent president, cabinet ministers and staff, diplomats and foreign leaders. I looked around and saw that everyone was staring at the coffin. The most powerful people in the world, with all the power in the world, sitting there, mesmerized by a coffin, forced in those moments to come face to face with the one reality about which all their power could do nothing, their own mortality. It was a vivid picture of the great human quandary. Well, Richard Nixon, that man's sin, and Colson's sin, by the way, was exposed in this life. And here, this arrogant king is confronted by something he can't control. We get the expression, the writing on the wall from this. And as happened all the way through Daniel, the king's supposed wise men are called. Verse 8, then all the king's men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. You see, you need the wisdom of the revelation of God. But verse 10, the queen remembers Daniel. Probably it's the queen mum, the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't get confused by that. Remember that we, for many years, had a queen and then another queen living in another part of the palace, the queen mum. Probably this is the queen mum, the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. And it seems that Daniel's out of favour. Certainly seems to have been forgotten. Verse 13, so Daniel was brought before the king. Verse 16, Belshazzar asks for the interpretation. Over the page, now I've heard that you're able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Well, Daniel, he's an old man now, probably maybe 80. This is a reminder for you retired people. Verse 17, he doesn't want the perks. Then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. But did you notice something? Before he does that, notice what he does. Because verses 18 to 21, he reminds Belshazzar of what God had revealed to Nebuchadnezzar and what Belshazzar knew. So verse 21, he was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like the ox, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sets them over anyone he wishes. You see, why doesn't Daniel just go straight to the interpretation? Because he wants to point out that Belshazzar has received the revelation of God. He's heard what has happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and he has proudly ignored it and rejected it. Look at verse 22. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, even though you knew all this. You knew all this. How foolish to set yourself up against the King of Heaven. How foolish not to honor and serve the King of Heaven who has made himself known. You see, the sinful idolatry is bad enough. And we all engage in idolatry. But he did this against the God who had made himself known. And how foolish to worship gods of metal and stone. Look at the second half of verse 23. You praise the gods of silver and gold, or bronze, iron and wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. Again, remember what Nebuchadnezzar had learned in chapter 2. He had dreamt of a statue made of different metals and substances, and Daniel reveals that that statue, it's smashed to bits, isn't it? Broken to pieces, all those different metals and substances. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. You see, what good are idols made of metal and stone? And you've received the revelation of God. The God of the Bible has made himself known. Romans 1 says that every person has enough in this world, has enough revelation to respond rightly to God. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. How extraordinary that so many people still consult their stars when they can know, that have no effect on their lives, when they can know the God who made the stars and who holds their life in his hands. You see, how foolish when God has made himself known. And of course, here in this country, we live in the full blaze of revelation. God has spoken by sending his son Jesus. Every Christmas is coming. We'll sing about God coming to this earth to be our Savior. Every Easter there's the message that Jesus was raised from death to life. In many homes there's still a Bible. There's church buildings everywhere. But people willfully choose to ignore that revelation because they want to run their own lives. They suppress the truth. They want to be in charge and carry on doing what they want. And how foolish not to honour the King of Heaven who has your life in his hand. Verse 23, but you did not honour the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. See, Belshazzar knew that about Nebuchadnezzar, but he suppressed the truth. My elder sister is a successful businesswoman. I want to say that I have enormous love and respect for her. She has built a business from scratch. I've shared the gospel with her. A couple of years ago, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And we prayed for her here at Trinity. She survived. Those of you who know about ovarian cancer know how serious it is. She doesn't believe in God. But she told my mother that she was very thankful. My mother is what I call a prayer book Christian. And I asked my mother who she was thankful to. My mother knew exactly what I was saying. It turns out that her thanks were to the hospital staff. Absolutely appropriate. But how sad that is. She has had a brush with mortality. God has her life in his hands. And in his mercy, God has given her, my sister, a few more years. But she will not thank God, because that means that she is accountable to him. And so she suppresses the truth. Will she hear the gospel again? Yes. But how foolish not to honour the King of Heaven when he's made himself known and he has your life in his hands. Secondly, how wise to turn and serve the King of Heaven before God judges. Because from verse 24, notice this, it is too late for Belshazzar. Verse 24 starts with, therefore. You know all this. You've heard all this. Therefore, God sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. Mene is repeated twice. It's emphatic. Here is what those words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Why, Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Belshazzar has been weighed on the scales of God's justice and found wanting. And what will happen? Perez, that's the singular of Parsin, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar is unable to bow the knee now. It's too late. God has judged him. He makes one last decision in government, verse 29. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But then verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. God does not want any of us to be fools, but to be wise. Psalm 90, verse 12, is often read at funerals. For the living, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And wisdom is found in obeying God's word. Wisdom is found in trusting the death and resurrection of Jesus. Acts 17, verse 30 to 31 says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, preaching, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him, Jesus, from the dead. On the roof of the Royal Courts of Justice, the Old Bailey, is this bronze statue. It is Justicia, Lady Justice. She holds a sword in her right hand and the scales of justice in her left. The point is clear. If you're guilty, then the sword of justice must fall. Behind her is St. Paul's Cathedral. There is a cross on the top of St. Paul's Cathedral. There are photographs of this foreshortened. So you have Lady Justice there with the cross right behind, but I'd have had to have paid £49, I think it was, to be able to show that. God's sword of holy justice must fall on sinful rebellion against him. But in his love, he sends his one and only Son, and the sword of God's justice, which we deserve, falls on Jesus at the cross. He takes our sin and judgment on himself so that we might go free. That is the glorious gospel. God in his love sending his Son. So how wise it is to respond when you can. How foolish to think, oh, I can put this off till another time. Can I say that to those who are young people grown up in a Christian home but haven't responded personally and properly to Jesus? Don't take that for granted, that you'll keep hearing the gospel. What a reminder this chapter is, that God can take our life at any moment. How wise to turn and trust Jesus today. But then lastly, thirdly, how wise to honour and serve the King of Heaven, whose kingdom will last forever. This is a massive encouragement, this chapter, to hear how God is at work while they're in exile, God's people in exile, and think how this book was written for those who came back from exile. About those in exile, but it's written to those who come back from exile. They come back to a Jerusalem that is broken down. They're still in enemy-occupied territory. Will God keep his promises? Can God's kingdom prevail? Remember that it was God who allowed the exile to happen as a judgment on his people's unfaithfulness. Likewise, the decline of the church in Britain has also been God's judgment on the unfaithfulness within it over recent decades. That is why Christianity in our culture has got smaller and it's become so much harder. It's not because the gospel's untrue, but because the church has been untrue to the gospel. The majority of people will rub shoulders with tomorrow don't trust Jesus. We know that. But it doesn't change the facts. Jesus lived. He died on the cross for our forgiveness. He really was raised to life by his Father as the rightful Lord and the judge. I was trying to think this week how I would preach this if we were a secret church in North Korea or in China. You can save our dictator. You can judge our dictator. Your will be done. God had promised that he would bring his people back from exile. And look at that verse 30. It is Darius who allows the exiles to return to Jerusalem. You see, God's got his great purposes, and they will prevail. He will keep his promises. So how wise it is to be to serve the King of Heaven. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that Daniel's still going strong. He's 80 years old. You retired here, keep going strong, keep speaking for the Lord, set us a great example. I'm going to close with this story. I love the story of John Chrysostom. He lived in the 4th century and he became the Bishop of Constantinople. As a young Christian, he was brought before the emperor. He was told that if he did not give up being a Christian, he would be banished from the country. He replied, "You cannot banish me because the whole world belongs to my father." "Then we'll take away your property." He replied, "You cannot because my treasures are in heaven." "Then we'll take you to a place where there's no friend to speak to." And he replied, "You cannot, because I have a friend who is closer than a brother. I have Jesus Christ forever." "Then we'll take away your life." "You cannot, because my life is hidden in Christ with God." So be encouraged. Be encouraged as we come to the Lord's table. Be reassured as we come to the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus died for you. You belong to him and your Father. How wise to be in the kingdom that lasts forever.